If you've ever tried to hire an agency, you know, to manage your Amazon brand, you've probably hit an absolute brick wall.
Oh, yeah. It is one of the most universally frustrating experiences in e-commerce today.
Right. I mean, you go to their website, you hunt around for a pricing page, and just nothing. They keep their rates a complete secret.
Exactly. They won't tell you a thing until they get you trapped on a sales call. It's this massive, frustrating black box.
Totally. And today, for this deep dive, we are ripping the doors off that black box.
Because we have to. That lack of transparency creates a huge power imbalance right from the start.
Yeah, you walk into that negotiation entirely blind. You have no idea if the number they throw at you is, like, standard for the industry, or if they just made it up based on how desperate you sounded.
Which happens more often than people think, by the way.
I'll bet. So we've got our hands on a really comprehensive 2026 industry guide. It's titled Amazon Account Management Cost: What Brands Actually Pay in 2026.
And the data in here is eye-opening.
It really is. So whether you're an entrepreneur looking to scale your store or, you know, just someone fascinated by the hidden machinery of e-commerce, we are going to give you the exact numbers today, the hidden traps, and the true cost of doing business on the world's biggest marketplace.
We really need to set a baseline first, though, because the variance in these numbers is just staggering.
Yeah, let's hit those headline numbers. The costs range wildly from, like, $500 all the way to over $10,000 a month.
Right, but the realistic range for established brands sits somewhere between $1,500 and $7,500.
Which is still a huge gap. I mean, a $6,000 difference. If I'm a seller looking at two quotes on opposite ends of that spectrum, how do I even begin to process that?
Well, you have to adopt a completely different mindset. Comparing quotes without understanding the underlying scope is the absolute fastest way to burn your money.
Just setting it on fire.
Exactly. A $2,000 invoice could be an amazing bargain, or it could be a total ripoff. It depends entirely on what levers that agency is actually pulling behind the scenes.
Right. So if we want to figure out what levers they're pulling, we first need to figure out how they are extracting these fees.
Yes, the billing structures. Because it's rarely just a straightforward hourly rate.
Yeah, the guide outlines five distinct billing structures. Let's start with the classic one, the monthly retainer.
Right. This is where you're paying a fixed fee, which usually runs anywhere from $1,000 to $10,000 plus a month.
And this is the most common model.
It is, yeah. Mostly because it provides total predictability for both sides. You know exactly what your expenses are, and they know their baseline revenue.
Makes sense. But there's a catch, isn't there?
A big one. Think about the psychology here. The inherent risk for you, the brand, is that the fee is fixed regardless of performance.
Oh, I see. So the agency gets paid the exact same amount whether my sales double or if they completely tank.
Precisely. They have zero financial skin in the game.
Which makes the second model sound like an absolute holy grail. The percentage of revenue model.
Ah, yes. Yeah. Where agencies usually take between 5 and 15% of your monthly sales.
Right. I mean, at first glance, that sounds like the perfect alignment. If I make more money, they make more money. Yeah. Run the same team.
It sounds ideal until you actually do the math at scale. And this is where so many growing brands just get trapped.
Wait, really? Trapped how?
Well, let's say you're doing $200,000 a month in revenue, and the agency is taking 8%.
Okay, so I'm paying them, what is that, 16 grand?
$16,000 every single month. When you hit that kind of volume, you have to seriously ask yourself a tough question.
Which is?
Is the operational value they are providing actually worth 16 grand? Or is the sheer momentum of your product just carrying the weight while they collect a toll?
Oh, wow. Yeah, if my product just naturally goes viral, they get a massive raise for doing absolutely nothing extra.
Exactly. So taking a percentage of revenue can severely penalize a rapidly scaling brand.
So how do agencies justify performance fees without eating all my profit margin? I guess that brings us to the third model. Percentage of ad spend.
Right. This is usually for agencies that focus solely on your PPC, your pay-per-click management. They take 10 to 20% of your advertising budget.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because charging a percentage of ad spend feels like paying a personal shopper based on how much of your money they can spend at the mall.
That is a brilliant way to put it.
Right. I mean, aren't we just incentivizing them to burn through cash rather than actually making a profit?
What's fascinating here is that you've hit on the exact structural conflict of interest in that model. They earn more when you spend more on ads.
Not when the ads actually work.
Exactly. Not when your ads perform better, just when you spend more. This is why tracking net profit becomes critical if you're in this model.
You have to keep an eye on them.
You absolutely must pair it with strict Tacos targets.
Tacos, that's total advertising cost of sale, right?
Yes. Meaning you have to put a leash on the spending so it doesn't outpace your actual total revenue. You have to run regular independent audits.
Just to make sure the increased ad spend is actually growing net profit and not just inflating the top line revenue to boost their fee.
Exactly. It requires a lot of vigilance on your part.
Honestly, that sounds exhausting to manage.
It is. And the market kind of realized both sides were getting burned by these extremes, which led to a compromise.
The hybrid model. Looking at the 2026 data, this looks like a base retainer, maybe $1,000 to $2,500 a month, plus a much smaller percentage of revenue.
Right, usually 5 to 8% above a certain revenue threshold.
So it's the best of both worlds.
It really has become the standard for mid-market and full-service agencies because it balances accountability and operational coverage.
So the base retainer keeps the lights on for the agents.
No, they aren't working for free if the market takes a dip. But that smaller percentage still ties a performance bonus to actual growth.
It aligns the incentives without creating those runaway costs we just talked about.
Exactly. But if you aren't ready to commit to any of these long-term relationships, there is a fifth option.
The project or one-time engagement. This is the $500 to $5,000 range for very specific tasks.
Right. Maybe you need a deep dive audit, or you're just launching a single product.
Or your account got suspended and you need a rescue mission.
Exactly. It's a fantastic, low-risk way to test an agency's actual competence before marrying them in a long-term retainer.
That makes a lot of sense. Try before you buy.
And honestly, if an agency pushes back hard against doing a scoped one-time project first, consider that a massive red flag.
Oh, yeah, like they're hiding something.
They might be trying to lock you into a long contract before you realize they can't actually deliver.
Okay, so once you've locked in how you're paying them, the immediate next hurdle is figuring out what they're actually going to do for that money.
Yes, the scope. We mentioned earlier that a $2,000 invoice could mean two entirely different things. It's an apples to oranges problem.
So how do we break down that scope? So we're actually comparing apples to apples.
You have to separate the work into core services versus premium services. Mm-hmm. Sellers constantly make the mistake of looking at the bottom line price without looking at the specific mechanics.
That's the baseline then. Like if I'm paying a standard retainer, what are the core services they have to provide?
A reliable agency should be handling your listing optimization. And that means not just rewriting a title, but really diving into keyword intent for your bullet points, descriptions, and back-end search terms.
Okay, what else?
They need to manage your PPC campaigns across all the ad types. They need to coordinate your FBA inventory so you don't stock out.
Oh, running out of stock is a nightmare.
It kills your ranking. They also need to monitor your account health for defect rates, track the buy box to make sure unauthorized sellers aren't hijacking your listing.
Which happens constantly.
All the time. And finally, they must provide regular, transparent reporting. That is the bare minimum to keep the engine running.
Okay, but if I want to actually scale, like get really aggressive with growth, I need the premium services.
Exactly, the add-ons.
The data lists, things like brand registry and intellectual property handling.
Yeah.
Or tapping into Amazon DSP.
Yes, the demand side platform. That's where you follow customers around the internet and retarget them on other websites.
Right, and A+. Content creation, custom storefronts, complex review strategies, quarterly business reviews with a senior strategist. It's a lot.
Those are the high-level plays that actually move the needle for a growing brand. But naturally, they require significantly more resources, specialized software, and senior talent.
Okay, let's play devil's advocate for a second here.
Go for it.
Let's say I'm an entrepreneur, and I get a pitch from an agency promising me the moon. They say, we'll give you all the core services, plus DSP retargeting, custom A+ content, the whole premium list. All for a rock-bottom $1,500 a month retainer. Why shouldn't I just take that deal? It sounds like an absolute steal.
Because a deal like that is a mirage. You have to think about the mechanics of how an agency actually functions.
Meaning what?
If they are bundling all of that for $1,500, they are either heavily cutting corners, or they are using completely inexperienced staff to churn through sheer volume.
Like using automated software to just blindly adjust keyword bids instead of you know, actually analyzing customer intent.
Precisely. You cannot get high-level DSP retargeting and custom graphic design from a junior employee who is managing 60 other accounts for peanuts.
They just don't have the hours in the day.
Right. Premium deliverables cost more because they require highly skilled marketplace professionals. You need someone to sit down and think critically about your specific brand.
You really need to get this stuff in writing.
You must demand a written, specific list of deliverables, not just a vague category that says marketing support.
Yeah, marketing support can mean anything.
Yeah.
Or nothing.
Exactly. So the scope dictates a massive part of the baseline cost.
But the data shows that even if two brands ask for the exact same scope of work, there are these invisible levers that make the exact same scope cost, like $3,000 more for one brand than another.
Yes, the hidden cost drivers.
The most obvious one is account size. The guide says if you aren't doing $30,000 to $50,000 in monthly revenue, a lot of agencies won't even pick up the phone.
Because higher revenue accounts require vastly more operational effort. There's more traffic to manage, more inventory to track, more customer interactions.
So they naturally base their fees on the sheer volume of value they have to protect.
Exactly. But beyond top-line revenue, the biggest hidden driver is catalog complexity.
Oh, yeah. Managing 5 ASINs is fundamentally different from managing 200 ASINs. 5 ASINs is like keeping 5 plates spinning, you know, doable.
Right.
But 200 ASINs is a circus act where half the plates are on fire.
That is exactly what it feels like. If we connect this to the bigger picture, businesses often forget they are paying for bandwidth, not just expertise.
Bandwidth.
Every single one of those 200 products has its own separate keyword bids, its own inventory levels, and its own ruthless competitors trying to take it down.
So costs spike meaningfully the moment a brand crosses, what, 50 active products?
Yes. 200 AMs literally drain hours from an agency's week. It requires more senior staff to navigate that chaos without letting a product crash and burn.
And it's not just how many products you have, it's the battlefield you're dropping them into. Category intensity is a massive factor.
Oh, absolutely. If you're selling in cutthroat verticals like supplements, beauty, or electronics,
you're going to pay a premium.
A steep premium. Because in those categories, you are fighting in daily, sometimes hourly, bidding wars. A strategy that works on Monday might be completely obsolete by Wednesday.
Wow. So the agency just has to be hypervigilant?
Yes. It requires far deeper competitive intelligence and constant bid adjustments.
Makes sense. Geography plays a huge role in the agency's overhead, too. U.S.-based teams are running 2 to 3 times more expensive than offshore teams.
The quality difference can be there, but, you know, it's not a universal rule. What you're really paying for with a U.S.-based team is often communication alignment and time zone convenience.
Right. And lastly, there's contract length. The data shows that if you want the safety net of month-to-month flexibility, you're going to pay a 15 to 25% premium over an annual contract.
Which is standard risk pricing across any B2B service. If an agency is investing dozens of hours into auditing and restructuring your account in month one, they need a longer contract to recoup that upfront investment.
Okay. So, armed with all these variables, the models, the scope, the hidden drivers, we can finally categorize the market into clear tiers.
Yes, this helps sellers benchmark where they actually belong.
Right. So if you're listening to this and wondering where you fit, here's how the 2026 data breaks it down. First is the entry or freelancer tier, running $500 to $1,500 a month.
And this is mostly solo freelancers or offshore teams. It's heavily focused on task execution.
So if you just need someone to push buttons and follow your exact instructions,
it works. But the execution risk is high, and you're getting very limited strategic guidance.
Then, stepping up, we have the mid-market tier, $1,500 to $4,000 a month. This seems to be where most growing brands land.
You're getting small to mid-sized teams, core services, and usually a dedicated point of contact.
But the data warns that quality here is a massive wild card, right?
Oh, it is the wild west of agency tiers. Some are fantastic, scrappy teams that will just hustle for you. Others are just churning and burning through clients.
So you really have to verify their case studies.
You absolutely must.
Then we hit the full service tier, $3,500 to over $7,500 a month.
This is tailored for brands pulling in $250,000 to over $3 million annually.
The big leagues. You get full operations, high-level strategy, senior access. But sitting awkwardly next to all of this is a fourth option. Amazon's own in-house service, Amazon SaaS Core. Strategic account services.
This one is incredibly heavily debated in the seller community.
Well, here's where it gets really interesting. To even qualify for SaaS Core, you need over $500,000 in annual revenue.
And the cost is high. It's a base fee of $1,600 a month, plus a percentage of your sales, capped at $5,000.
Right. And in exchange, you get a direct, dedicated Amazon representative. But looking at the reviews, the feedback is bizarre.
It is very mixed.
Sellers are complaining that these Amazon reps act like junior staff. They give generic advice. And mostly, they just push you to spend more money on Amazon's own ad platform.
Right.
I mean, how does that make sense?
Yeah.
You're paying Amazon directly for a dedicated rep just so they can tell you to buy more ads from Amazon.
You really have to look at the corporate reality of the situation. SaaS Core is an incredibly powerful tool if your account gets suspended or if you have a complex back-end technical error.
Like stuff deep inside Amazon servers.
Exactly. Having a rep who can actually submit internal tickets for escalations is invaluable.
So it's essentially an expensive insurance policy for technical disasters.
Mostly, yes. But for strategic growth, these reps are not seasoned entrepreneurs. They are Amazon employees.
With quotas.
With quotas. Their advice will naturally lean toward Amazon's ecosystem goals, which prioritize selling more ad inventory.
Wow. Okay, so it's best used as a supplement for escalations, not a standalone agency replacement.
Exactly.
All right, so we've seen the price tags, the models, the tiers. Now comes the ultimate business question, the ROI reality check.
The most important part.
When does spending this kind of money actually make financial sense?
Yeah.
Because the default alternative, just doing it yourself, is free, right?
Doing it yourself is never free. That is the biggest lie entrepreneurs tell themselves. You have to ruthlessly calculate the cost of DIY.
Okay, let's do the math on that.
Let's say you're managing the account yourself, and you spend 15 hours a week bogged down in PPC spreadsheets.
Adjusting bids, tracking lost inventory, yeah.
If you value your time as a founder at $100 an hour, that is an implicit cost of $6,000 a month.
And that's just the baseline cost. It doesn't even factor in the opportunity cost.
Right. What aren't you
doing? Exactly. What aren't you doing while you're stuck in the Amazon weeds? You aren't developing new products. You aren't negotiating freight rates. You're bottlenecking your own company.
If your business has traction, your time is simply too valuable to be spent micromanaging keyword bids.
But if you do pull the trigger and hire an agency, the data shows you have to understand the timeline. You cannot expect instant gratification.
ROI takes 4 to 6 months to materialize.
Yeah, the guide breaks this down clearly. Days 1 to 30 are purely audit and strategy. They're just ripping your account apart to see what's broken.
And days 31 to 60 are just implementation.
You don't even get early KPI measurements until days 61 to 90. It's like hiring a personal trainer. You can't do a heavy workout on day 1 and then stare in the mirror on day 2 expecting to see a six-pack.
That's a great analogy. You have to give the strategy time to actually compound.
Right. But when it does, the math is compelling. Let's look at the ROI example from the data.
Say you're paying a full service agency a $3,500 monthly fee. Over 6 months, they drop your tacos from 18% down to 12%.
On a baseline of $150,000 in monthly revenue. So they've made your advertising 6% more efficient.
Right. And that 6% drop means they just recovered $9,000 a month in previously wasted ad spend.
Oh, wow. So you are paying them $3,500 and they are handing you back $9,000.
It's a 2.6x return on your investment before you even look at sales growth. They pay for themselves.
That's incredible. But we can't ignore the red flags. The data comes with a strict checklist. Number one, never hire an agency that won't guarantee you own all your campaign assets and data if you leave.
This is a vital point. Some agencies build out profitable campaigns, but they do it under their own master account.
So if you try to cancel the contract,
they hold the campaigns hostage. You lose years of historical data and have to start completely from scratch.
That should be illegal. Another massive red flag. Walk away immediately from any agency that promises fixed ranking results.
Yes. If they guarantee they can get you to the number one spot for a competitive keyword, they are lying. Nobody controls the Amazon algorithm except Amazon.
This raises an important question, though. When should you absolutely not hire an agency?
If you are making less than $10,000 a month, the finances simply don't justify a full-service retainer. You need to focus on product market fit first.
Right. If your foundation is crumbling, a shiny new agency isn't going to save the house.
Exactly. If you have a fundamentally flawed product, severe supply chain issues, or intellectual property strikes, paying an agency won't save you. You cannot outsource away a bad product.
So what does this all mean? When we unpack this 2026 pricing data, the overarching lesson is that Amazon account management isn't just an expense line item to be minimized.
No, it's an investment in operational bandwidth.
The key is strict scoping, protecting your assets, and relentless tracking of net profit.
And if you're taking anything away from these numbers, remember to always demand verifiable case studies and ensure you have a clear exit clause before signing anything.
It is an incredibly complex, unforgiving machine. And it leaves me with this final thought. If success on Amazon requires this intense level of micromanagement from A-plus content to daily DSP bidding wars, are we reaching a point where the marketplace is no longer a battle of who has the best product, but simply a battle who can afford the most ruthlessly efficient agency? Next time you click buy now, ask yourself, who actually engineered that sale?